This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Now, we've got our next guest.
Oh, one of our favourites.
Exactly. We've got the studio. We've got Marie Coutts, who's joining us. Marie is an author, well, many things, but an author's the most recent feather in your cap. Now, Marie's done numerous books, illustrated as well as written, and a lot of for children and school, well, for school kids, basically. So Marie's here to talk about her latest venture.
Wow, I can't believe that this is a topic you've picked.
Called Azaria.
Well, you see,
and who's
hello,
Azaria?
Hello. Thank you very much for having me back again. Now, why can't you believe this subject matter?
Well, because
people think this is controversial because it's the story of Azaria Chamberlain.
Yeah.
And for me, it's not I suppose it is. But the point is...
Of course it is.
But the point is, it's just iconic fairy story material. Mm. And if you think about it, it's Australia's number one, like it's almost like a folkloric myth. You know, you have the mother and child at the heart of it and you have the wild animal in the wild landscape. If you flip the dingo for a wolf and the desert for a forest and the media for a king and the court for a king and the media for angry townsfolk, you've got your classic archetypal fairy story. This is true history. It's our history. It's what makes us.
And
we
it's
are
really
all
not,
involved in it.
And it hasn't been really told much
no,
of late,
and,
has
you know,
it?
I think. Well, it has in other forms. Mm. Okay, so there's been a couple of quite extensive books written not long after.
Yeah, but not recent.
No. There also was a movie, of course, with Meryl Streep. Yeah. There was a miniseries and even an opera. Can you believe it? Oh. Didn't run for long, though.
Okay.
It is operatic in scale, but it's interesting that these different mediums of telling this story all have different results. And people, I think, find it surprising that I put this in a children's picture book.
And let me just say that, because you're a very strong illustrator, because your background is...
It's very graphic design, yeah.
Yeah, graphic design. Mm. And you're wonderful at illustrating, and that's why your children's books have done so well internationally. You've had great success on that level, plus all your adult stuff that you do as well. But the artwork in this is so to the point, but so beautiful
Thank
as
you.
Well. Right,
Thank
at, right
you.
At the second to last page is the baby with Azaria, mm-hmm. Sort of wrapped as the baby.
It's just kind of an essence of a shape of a baby transposed over the shape of Ayers Rock, I suppose. Just a little napping infant and with all the
and
flowers.
And the wild flowers. Mm. You know, like, it's just so powerful, Marie.
Good,
that,
thank you.
That, you know, like, I'm just really... it's actually quite moving. Because it's very simple, the artwork, but unbelievably strong. You're like, you must have taken a long time to work on the actual...
And, you know, I've looked back at some of the other illustrations that I've done, because this is, you know, 4 years or something in the making.
Oh, okay.
I had the idea a while... I mean, I've been working on this for a long time, just aesthetically doing artwork about this story, but I had the idea about 4 years ago to make it into a children's picture book because I was looking at some classic, you know, Russian and Japanese and South Korean picture books and, you know, enjoying the depth of culture that they have in their picture books in Europe and in Asia that I don't seem to see so much here, apart from Indigenous work, of course. We don't seem to have that in such a young culture here in Australia, that's why. And I thought, well, this story is perfect material for that kind of rich, deep, cultural and the setting, you know, Uluru, the desert, all of these things, the sky, the constellations, the stars, the whole thing just seems to come together in this magical recipe for a lesson set in a beautiful location about humanity, really, and how things go wrong, the rush to judgment, mob thinking.
Yep.
You know, it's a simple, sad event. I'm not gruesome and gory about it at all in this children's picture book. It's a collection of events, as it is in Snow White or Hansel and Gretel or whatever. A series of events are laid out. This is what occurs. The children don't have the same threat that I think a lot of people, adults, seem to perceive about this subject matter.
And because most children would have no idea about this story.
No, they don't. Well, a lot of adults don't either, David. It's disappearing from the common consciousness. It's still happening. There's been 16 more attacks since Azaria, three of them fatal, et cetera, et cetera.
I didn't realise that. Three fatal. Mm, wow.
Mm, yes, definitely. And so, I mean, apart from the fact that this is an iconic story where we can all learn a little bit about how things go wrong and how we get derailed and what drives us all and how we rush to judgment and so on and make mistakes at summing each other up, it's also a cautionary tale for people who don't know this story yet and for anybody to just remember that when you're in the wild, have respect the wilderness and learn to understand that there's bigger things at play than perhaps you know. You can't just go out and be ignorant in the world and in the environment. So it's about ignorance of natural surroundings and safety and so on, as well as ignorance between people.
And the fact that this... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry. I was just going to say, there are a lot of messages that come through this book, Marie.
Oh, and tell me about it.
Well, yeah, and I suppose that, you know, so I suppose the things that... Is that something that you found, you know, obviously you consciously did, because besides the nature, there's also the traditional owners, because there's mention of the fact that, you know, people didn't listen to traditional owners and their views of things.
That's right.
Also, just the way you planned it, I'm sure it's consciously done, but the whole book, I mean, it is beautifully illustrated, but it is very dark. I mean, even just the scenes, they're very black and blue.
Well, there's a lot of navy blue sky and a lot of stars.
But then you end up with that very bright rock and the thing. So is that a message you're trying to get across?
I am always trying to be optimistic. I mean, it's a chance to make something meaningful out of a sad event. It's a chance to be optimistic in some way about and getting an outcome that we can all use and work with and live with. Otherwise, this is why this story is confronting. It's still, a lot of people are in denial about it. They can't deal with it.
Because it is such a bizarre story when you think about it.
It is, and yet what's really bizarre about it is that we were more ready to believe that a mother would do the most unlikely thing in the world with no time, no evidence, no motive, you know.
And the fact that she went to jail for how many years?
Three and a half, but it was it took sort of 6 years to get her there, and then, you know, 32 years before exonerated. But we were more ready to suspect the most unlikely thing of a loving mother who couldn't wait for this little girl after the two boys than we were to suspect a dingo who is designed to do exactly this task. Mm. It is a fabulous, fabulous wild hunter designed to hunt each day. It's a resourceful, problem-solving, amazing animal. Mm. And yet we think it's a dog. You know, we were happy to make that judgment from our lounge rooms in front of our televisions because, you know, we know everything.
Well, and also, I vaguely remember a lot. Well, I remember most of the stuff that was going in the media. And one of the big things I remember was that there was a lot of scrutiny around the family and especially the mother just because there were no tears in public.
That's right.
You know? And that was that big thing about it, you know, like, well, how can she
and,
be a loving
mother?
And
the religion that they followed. And, you
know, that's right. Well, there was her reaction, which was not prescribed by the press. She should have fallen apart and been hopeless. I know personally that I would have reacted the way she did, I'm sure.
And
I'm
a lot
sure.
of people probably would have, I'd say. You know?
So I thought, well, what's wrong with the way she's behaving? I don't get that. I mean, that's what I'm sure I would be. And she was perhaps a little, lost her sense of humour a bit with the press and the police and rangers and all that sort of stuff for various good reasons of incompetence and so on.
But what I've also got to love is, you know, making it very childlike in, but this book is something that we should all have in our collection as an adult.
Yeah, and actually we'll come back and talk a bit more about that because there's a lot to talk about in this book. But
lovely.
You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine and we're talking to Marie Coutts about her most recent book. And
What's it called?
It's called Azaria.
Right.
And, of course, it's about the story of Azaria Chamberlain and her disappearing back in the 80s, I think.
1980.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, back. Oh, really? Right at the start of 1980. Yeah. So that is actually, I suppose now you think about it, 40 years ago. So it is a whole generation of people now coming along who haven't, the world wouldn't know anything about it. And you're saying, and you're aiming this for children. So obviously it's in that sort of 10 to sort of, you know, well, 10-year age group. So they know nothing about it. They would just look at it as like a, almost like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
So you're starting from scratch with them. How are you finding that?
I am, and I mean, I think, you know, with children, they understand the basic themes of life, pretty simply greed and fairness and unfairness and, you know, all sorts of major human themes like that. And they can see it very clearly. I think when they're tiny, they get it really well. Through the school years, they get it knocked out of them, I think, a little bit with the kind of education sort of pushes its way in and it changes the nature of their insights and what they understand to be important in life, which is basically inferred to them by the adults around them, you know.
Mm.
But little kids know what's fair and what's not fair. They know what bullying is.
Mm.
They know.
But they still do it.
Well, they do it, yeah. But they need to be see how the impact of that.
Yep.
So this is the story of that sad event, but only takes the first few pages and it's not grim.
Yep.
But then it soon becomes the story of what happened next.
Yep.
And it's about all of us and how we make rush to judgment and how we're not very good at summing each other up as human beings.
Yep.
And it the consequences of getting that judgment wrong can be tragic.
Mm.
And, you know, I wouldn't want any of these kids to be wrongly accused of anything in their lives. And if they are, the concept of, you know, they might see a movie like To Kill a Mockingbird and people don't have a problem with children looking at that film. You know, Gregory Peck and the whole thing is about the accusing of a black man.
Yep, and wrongly.
Seriously, because it's just a racist decision.
Yep.
Nobody has a problem I think it falls to writers and artists to assimilate these stories into our culture and society so that we can think about them. Because when we're in denial, because it's too confronting, and we're in denial about the story, pretending it didn't happen, don't want to know about it, don't tell kids about it, let's not talk about it, you know, let's just Tiananmen Square the whole thing. That doesn't do anybody any good, because not only is that not honouring Lindy's loss and Azaria's life, it's not honouring the opportunity that we all have to learn something about it and to see how it went wrong. And it's also not raising the awareness for people who don't know anything about it, who don't know the story at all.
Mm.
So I think if it's told with love and empathy, with the aim of healing in some way, the aim to process and assimilate these stories into our folklore and our history in a way that I suppose only artists and writers who look at this in various different mediums across the years can do that for us, because no one else is going to do it. To help us, you know, embrace the story, own it, and, you know, man up to it if you like, and say, okay, we were all a bit complicit in this.
But I love the fact that, you know, like, as you said, it is a child's book, but I also mentioned that it's a book that we should all have in our library, because it's a beautiful picture book as well as telling a story in a very simple way for kids. But just some of the wording you've used are like when they put Azaria to bed that night and she was smelling like warm
ice cream. They said they'd tucked her in with a kiss under the stars and she smelled like warm ice cream because she's a new baby. And then later on you see the dingo catching the scent of warm ice cream on the cold night air. Mm. I mean, you know that smell of a beautiful new baby.
Yep.
They're just munchable, you know.
Yeah.
And, oh, sorry to say that word. It's if you've been to Ayers Rock, if you've been to Uluru, if you've been to the desert, it is enormous, magical. It's another personality, the nature, the landscape itself.
Yep, you're living in a fairy tale almost, aren't you?
It's amazing.
Well, the dream world.
Yes. It's for no strange reason that the indigenous people hold it in such high regard. Mm. It's a magical, magical place. So it's all of these things came together for me. The story, you know, Lindy's story, the injustice, the place, the setting, the aesthetics of the place, and the fact that it's true and it's our history, and also the fact that people still don't want to know about it. I think if you're doing that, you must be doing something right. If people don't want to hear about something, must be doing something right.
So you release your books internationally.
Yes.
This story would have been known worldwide in the time, and because Meryl Streep played Lindy Chamberlain.
Yep. It's become one of those kind of mythical jokes as well, really. You know, even Elaine Bennis in Seinfeld says, you know, Dingo's got your baby. Do you remember that scene?
No.
She's surrounded by a lot of clucky mothers and it really gets up her nose, and so she decides to prod them a bit with that line, you know.
Fantastic.
And Lindy said to me, I mentioned that to Lindy, you know, how does that make you feel? And she said, oh, look, I've become a bit of a prawn on the barbecue, really, as far as this cultural, And I thought, wow, you know, she's had to wear so much, so many times over.
Yep.
First the incident, then again all that awful mess, then from then on.
And the lack of her child, you know, like.
Absolutely.
Azaria
and,
no longer.
And, you know, David, the lack of an apology from the press or the government or anybody, it still has not been confronted properly in that regard. The coroner, Elizabeth Morris, I think, forgive me if I got that wrong, who did the final pronouncement 32 years later, you know, and cleared everything properly, would have been so welcome and was so welcome, you know, to them for, to finally repair the misinformation. But,
wow.
But, you know, and that's... We just need to slow down when we sum each other up.
Yep.
You know, somebody's hairstyle or their religion's not enough to for us to know everything about them.
Well, I highly congratulate you. I know I've said it many times. I'm a big fan of everything you do, and being a nice person as well. But I think you've outdone yourself this time.
Thank you, David.
You know, like you really have. It's just called Azaria.
Yep. A true history.
A true history. Yes. A beautiful picture book for children, but as I said, every library should have it.
And I'm hoping schools will pick it up. There's lots of teachers' notes to go with it, and if we can impart to kids to have an open mind, then we've done something.
Yep. And it's not actually in stores yet, is it?
In another weekish.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And where are we? 20? Yeah, another weekish. It's a March release.
Yep. Right. Sorry. And so if your local bookstore doesn't have it,
you can pre-order.
Pre-order. Yeah. So it's just called Aria, Azaria, A True Story.
But
By Marie Coote.
Yeah. But go ask your favourite bookstore, and I'm sure they'll get it in for you.
Absolutely, they will.
Yeah.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.